Christian faith is full of mystery. We're in a bit of an odd position. On one hand, we claim to know the truth about the world and all the biggest questions that we ask in life. The truth about where it all came from, about why things seem to go wrong, what the real meaning of life is all about, and so forth. And yet, even as we claim to know the truth about these things, we also say it is still mysterious, that it's still hidden from us in some big ways, that there are some questions we cannot fully answer in this life. Today's observance, the day of Pentecost, brings one of those forward for us. The Holy Spirit, the most forgotten or mysterious person of the Holy Trinity, which is our God. It's pretty much the one day of the year that we focus on the Spirit in particular, rather than God the Father or Jesus, or maybe even like next week, the Trinity together. But the Spirit is just as important, fully God as the Father and Christ are, and I would say our readings today might even convince us that the Spirit is the most active and present among the Church, even now. But there's a lot of misunderstandings about the way the Spirit works among us. Some groups, like Charismatics and Pentecostals, may occasionally go so far as to handle snakes and attempt other unwise things because of confusion about what Scripture shows us concerning the work of the Spirit among us. So in this Gospel reading today, Jesus promises his disciples that the Spirit is coming and explains what that will mean for them. It sounds like the Spirit has his work cut out for him. The Helper, who will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. The Spirit of truth, who will guide us into truth, who will glorify Christ, who will declare things that are to come. It's quite a lot. So what does the Spirit do? Where do we see the Spirit still present and active today? It's easy to read the story of Pentecost, of Peter's preaching, of the speaking in tongues, the conversion of 3,000 people, and to wonder why it seems like the Spirit is taking a break these days, why we don't see things like that very much. Moreover, Jesus starts his words about the Holy Spirit by saying, "It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you." Now, I don't want to question the words of Jesus, but does that sound right to us? Do we really believe that it's better for us if Jesus leaves? It doesn't really feel like it to me. It feels like it'd be much better to have Jesus with us, right in front of us, like he was with the disciples after the resurrection. To have a living, breathing, solid Lord that we can talk to, we can hear, we can walk with, as his followers did back then. Is it really better for us to have the Spirit, who is so intangible, so often undetectable? We're told time after time things like, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet still believe," or, "Faith is the confidence in things unseen." But still, who wouldn't jump at the chance to see Jesus in the flesh? We appreciate this Holy Spirit, Lord, but I have trouble when you say it's better for us if you go away. It's like out of sight, out of mind. We don't see Jesus anymore, and the Spirit is doing his work invisibly, most often through other human beings. It just isn't the same. Maybe it does make sense, though. After all, being a sinner and being tempted by pride, I assume that if I were living back then, I would be one of those faithful followers. Or would I? Or would I find myself in the place of the Pharisees? Even if I saw Jesus in the flesh, would I really recognize him as the eternal Son of God? Or would I miss it and reject it like so many did? Maybe it is better for me, for us, that we don't rely on that. We rely on the work of the Holy Spirit instead, the Spirit of truth, who will guide us into all truth. And what is truth, after all? Jesus himself is the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. It is better for us that Jesus go away and send the Spirit instead, because we need that help to believe in him, to be guided to our Lord, who is the truth. Even when Peter makes his great confession of faith, Jesus tells him that that knowledge and insight came straight from God, not from his own understanding or his discernment or his ability. Luther wrote, "The apostles certainly experienced and thoroughly proved by their relation to their Lord how utterly impossible it is to sustain faith in temptation without the Holy Spirit. In his suffering and death, they shamefully fell away from him, denied him. This truth, the faith that must hold fast to Christ and his kingdom, this cannot be sustained by human reason or powers, but that the Holy Spirit must himself perform his work. That's what we believe, as it's written in the Small Catechism. I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, has enlightened me with his gifts, has sanctified and kept me in the true faith. The Spirit comes to convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment, as Jesus says. The Spirit comes to show us what these things are and the truth of God, exposing the errors of the world and leading us to the Savior who has overcome the world. He confronts the world with its unbelief and declares that true righteousness is available only in Jesus, who is now at God's right hand. And, for believers, points us to Jesus and creates and strengthens our faith for salvation. When we read Scripture, the Spirit is there at work. When we receive holy baptism, when we take the Lord's Supper, the Spirit is there at work. And that is because the Spirit's work is to glorify Christ and to testify about him to the world. He doesn't give us new revelation, but he makes new connections between us and the greatest revelation of God, the person, and especially the death and the resurrection of Christ. The revelation is Jesus. Not just learning about Jesus or learning a set of doctrines, but guiding us to Jesus himself. The Spirit takes what Christ did on Calvary and connects us there. That old hymn asks, "Were you there when they crucified my Lord?" And the answer is, yes, you were. Your sins were nailed to that cross too, and because the Spirit is with you here and now to connect you there, to create that faith, to sustain it, to point you to Christ, to help you to walk in his ways. The Spirit's work is much more personal. It is not the voice of the Father booming down from heaven, or the Son in the flesh that we can reach out and touch. It's within us, whispering in our conscience, working through other people. Has anyone ever helped you or called you to offer a word of encouragement, or said something totally unexpected to you that you needed to hear? I have had that happen to me, and they tell me later, I have no idea why I said that. The thought came out of nowhere, and it was like someone else was speaking through my mouth. I believe that is often how the Holy Spirit works, these subtle promptings and flashes of insight that serve to build each other up and to strengthen faith. The Spirit works in our hearts in another way, too, pointing us away from ourselves, pointing us to what really matters. The Spirit came to convict the world of sin and judgment. Sometimes that becomes all too personal and powerful. When we are haunted by all our failures, if only I hadn't said that. If only I hadn't done that. If only I had taken that opportunity when I could have. If only. When we can't help but think about every way that we fall short, like rubbernecking at a horrible car wreck as you drive past on the highway, the Spirit is there to redirect our focus. Don't look over there. Don't think about those things. Look this way. Look at the cross. Look at Jesus. That stuff over there, yes, it happened, but it doesn't define you. You are not identified by your sins. You are identified by your Savior. Look to Jesus, because that's who you really are, a person redeemed by him. Stop focusing on yourself. Look at the one who promises you total forgiveness and salvation and eternal life. In the book of Acts, we learn that while the Spirit had always been there and was active in the Old Testament prophets and a few other specific examples, this was the first arrival of the Spirit on the entire body of God's faithful people. At Pentecost, it was marked by a visible sign, the little tongues of flame that rested on the head of each person there in that upper room. It's a beautiful and a fitting symbol for the Spirit's work in the church. Christ is the light of the world, the great light for all mankind. As Christians, we are called to be little Christs, a little reflection into the world. If Christ is like the sun, through our faith in him, we are still at least have a little candle flame within us. It's better to light a candle than to curse the darkness, the saying goes. and the Spirit in each of us is a little candle in this dark world. The Spirit is the helper and the comforter. It makes me think of the way that Luke and Joseph are together sometimes. When Joseph starts to cry, Luke immediately tries to comfort him. There's a lot of, "It's okay, baby Joseph. It's okay, baby Joseph." And then he makes sure that we know, too. He comes and tells us, "Baby Joseph's crying." He comforts, and he goes for help. I think that's a little bit like what the Holy Spirit does, the same way, comforting us and leading us to our Savior, who will ultimately put all things right. And so we pray, as we sang in our sermon hymn, "Giver of grace, descend from high, your gifts to us supply. Help us eternal truths receive, and practice all that we believe. Give us yourself, that we may see the glory of the Trinity." May the Spirit continue to strengthen your faith in Christ, pointing you to Him and the salvation you have, motivating and guiding you each and every day to walk in His ways, to the glory of God. Amen.